And the board was like, hey, take the weekend off. And I thanked the board. They gave us plenty of gift cards to enjoy our weekend. And it's okay. We can find someone to preach on Sunday. But wouldn't you know, I enjoy being here on Sunday. I really like getting up here and sharing what the Lord has put on my heart. I really enjoy putting the message together and seeing how it all connects and what the Lord is doing. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to say. I have no idea what the Lord wants. And it occurred to me that as I began to pray for our just our year, that you know we need a vision, we need a mission. What are we trying to do? What do we stand for? What is it that the Lord is going to do with us as Kingsway? And as I began to pray about that, he began to give me concepts and ideas. And in almost in a twinkling of an eye, the entire calendar year, including holidays, and there are a lot of them. As you become pastor, you realize how many holidays there are. And I start looking at all the Sundays, and I began to put together the messages and the series for the rest of the summer. And I began to see how the Lord is doing this. And so this message is a special one. I'm going to do a series of series. Let's try that. They always say series are good. Why not do series of series? I'm going to do three series back to back to back, and they're very related. I'm going to start that next week. I'm going to show you today what I'm going to do. Today is to tell you what all of them together are about. So I'm going to tell you it all up front, because that way you're not confused. I really believe as I've been praying about what the Lord is going to do with Kingsway and how that's different than perhaps another church, I really believe the Lord has shared with me some specifics on the mission of what Kingsway stands for, of what Kingsway is going to do in the years to come. You guys with me? Are you excited? Okay, let's share a little bit. Let's see if I get this working. There we go. So as I began to think about that, a couple of concepts came to mind. College classrooms, sports teams, protesters, even famous bands or even movie casts, you know, of your famous movie celebrities. All of these have something in common. Something in common, frankly, with churches. You know what it is? Well, I'm sure there's lots of things that are in common with these things. But there's a couple things that really specifically came to mind that I wanted to share with you this morning before I get into the Word. All of these connect people with more people. In a classroom, you're bringing people together with a teacher. Sports teams, you're bringing people together to achieve a common purpose, to win a game, a certain strategy to move forward. Protesters come together, a group of people with a singular purpose to accomplish a bigger goal. Bands do this, right? So we have a band up here. We don't call it a band. We call it a worship team. But there's a group of people that come together to play music, to worship the Lord. Well, what separates them from perhaps a band that's out on the street or in a club or somewhere else? The difference is their purpose is not to glorify themselves, but to glorify God. Okay, so what am I getting to here? What I'm trying to convey is that there are a lot of constructs already set up in humanity that connect people with purpose. It's really, really important. I don't even need to open up the Word of God to demonstrate this for you. Look, any aspect of your life today, and I guarantee no matter what you're going to do today, you're going to be around people in purpose somewhere at a restaurant. You know, perhaps you're driving down the street and you see a convoy of cars or a motorcycle brigade. A number of things in humanity connect people with purpose. And so I thought to myself, well, clearly that is an important part of the church, because the church is different than just at home. At home, we just have my wife and I and the kids, and that's an important family. We want to create a church family, and that's going to happen at church. So at church, we need to connect people, right? Okay, Lord, I can follow that. But it's not just people for no random reason. We need a purpose when we connect. So then I went to the Bible. I said, Lord, show me scripture on people connecting with purpose. What can I share with the congregation today? And then the Lord blew my mind. You guys want to see? They're wondering, do they really want to see? Do you want to see? Okay, there we go. Sure, I wasn't sure if you actually heard me. Mic check. Okay, for those of you who have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis chapter 11. If you don't, it's okay. I have my story Bible today. My story Bible just means it's not the King James. It means I can read it a little faster and you can follow along. Don't worry, I checked it with the King James. It's still true. The story I'm going to read is in Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to read at verse 1, and I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to tell a little bit about the verse. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to tell a little bit about the verse as I go. I'm going to teach a little bit as I read. I'll tell you what verse I'm on because my wife likes to follow along. Verse 1. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. This is right after the flood, where the flood wiped out all humanity, and Noah was saved with his children. Then his children, they began to give birth, and they began to create larger and larger families. And chapter 10 is about all of the families and all of the generations that ensued after the flood. And then what happened was you had one giant culture, a huge family that had now generations of them, and they all spoke the same language. They were of the same culture. Verse 2, as the people migrated to the east, so they moved out because they began to expand, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. People like to settle. We like to be comfortable. And when you settle with people, this tends to happen. They began saying to each other, let us make bricks and harden them with fire. This is the title of my sermon today, Let Us. Let us. Let us make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar, slime. I want to pause here on verse 3. This is really important. You see, those who know this story, Tower of Babel, know it doesn't end well. This is a story that is interesting and stands the test of time. This is a story that has been archaeologically proven accurate. They have found the Tower of Babel. They have measured the Tower of Babel. Many believe, even those who study geology or social, I can't think of the word right now, where you'd study all the cultures and where they came from. What's that? Thank you. See, we have some smart people up there. Good for those. That's right. So as you begin to study them, they even believe that there was a split in cultures at one point in time. And this is where the Bible says it took place. What I want to talk about in verse 3 is something that's interesting about what happens when sin enters. You see, when sin enters and when people decide to do something bad, you know they're in a hurry. Everyone's in a hurry when you know that you're doing something maybe you shouldn't be doing, or it's not something God wants you to be doing. You figured, I'm going to do it real quick, get it over with. Maybe you won't notice. Back then, they used to harden bricks with the sun. They would lay them out, and then they would harden over time, and it was a long process and allowed them to build big buildings. Back then, they burned it with fire. Interesting sermon in and of itself. They did it quickly so they could get this job done with fire. And verse 4, and then they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. Well, there's the sin. You see, they wanted to build something to be glorified of themselves. They wanted the glory to go away from God and come to them. They wanted to build a tower and a great city that everyone would recognize them. Anybody ever felt this way? Everybody ever dress up a certain way or act a certain way or buy a certain something so that they would look at you? Sure we have. You see, this is what the scripture is telling us, that the attention was taken away from God and put on themselves. In verse 5, but the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Do you know the Lord comes down to look at you? He cares about what you're doing. The Lord is in your life whether you ask him to be or not. The Lord is looking at you and he's watching you and he's involved in you. Whether it's blessing or whether it's tribulation, the Lord is concerned with going on in your life. Verse 6. Look. The people are united, and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Let me read that again. The people are united. Remember we talked about united? Hamathamadan? People are united. They are together. And they all speak the same language. Interesting. If you get people together, connect them. You get them with a singular purpose. Now, this purpose was build a city and a tower. You get them together. You get them communicating. You get them to have a singular purpose. And the Lord says in verse 6, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. I find this shocking in one sense. Think about this. Anybody need a great idea? Anybody pray, Lord, I want a great idea. You know, I want to do something magnificent with my life. You know, all these great ideas are coming out. I can't think of anything. You know, we're in the 21st century. Back then, there was zero technology. And a bunch of people got together and built a great city and a great tower with their bare hands. The great idea was get a bunch of people together for a singular purpose, and we're able to accomplish something nobody has ever done in the past. They built a giant tower without any machinery. So powerful, in fact, that here God says that nothing they set out, well, the King James says, will be restrained from them. That means if you put a group of people together with a singular purpose, even God recognizes that those people can do anything that they put their minds to. Church, if we get our hearts and minds set in the same direction, do you see we can do great and mighty things? Okay, come, let us go down. Let us, the third time. Let us go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because it is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. They weren't honoring God. And so the Lord had to shake them up a bit. And he already decided he wasn't going to destroy them all, because he did that in the flood. So he scattered them up and he created different languages. Interesting how different languages represents sort of the sin of the world, and all of our cultures create divides. And God is not trying to divide us. He doesn't want to divide us. He wants to reunite us through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ himself. But back then he did. He split them all up. Why? Because people were connected with purpose. So then I start to pray about that and wonder, okay, well, Lord, what are you showing me here? Okay, so we connect all these people, and we connect them with other people. That should be a good thing. And we put a purpose. That would be a great thing. And we could do something like build a tower. But there's something missing, right? There's something missing, because I realized when I was reading this, Susan, it needs to be something a little more qualified. God wants to connect God's people. In other words, he wants people of faith to be connected with people of faith. And he wants people who are not of faith to be connected with people of faith. In other words, he wants God's people to connect with the rest of the world. He wants you to be the shining light, the salt in the world, the light in the darkness. He wants you to be the person that's standing at a Tower of Babel and say, don't do this unto yourself, let's do this unto the Lord. And how do I know it was done unto ourselves? You can go back and look. There was an archaeological dig. They found the Tower of Babel. You know what was at the top of it? It was only 300 feet high. That's pretty high for back then and not very high for now. It was a zodiac symbol. They were creating their own gods and idols. The whole point was they weren't honoring God. We're trying to connect God's people with God's purpose. Do you know what God's purpose is for you? Let's just take a quick survey real quick. I'm not going to qualify it any more than that. I want you, if you feel comfortable, to raise your hand if you firmly believe you know the purpose God has called you to. 1, 2, 3, raise your hand. Okay. For those who are listening on the internet, there was about 5 hands, and we have about 115 people here. This is the purpose of our church: to connect God's people and to begin to help inspire connection with God's purpose. to help teach, to help show, to help discover, to help uncover, to help dig out, to help unearth, to help identify God's purpose in your life. How many people want to be a part of God's purpose? How many people want to build spiritually a tower up into the heavens that isn't to glorify yourself, but to glorify God? Amen, right? Some of it will happen on pulpits. Some of it will happen out here preaching with microphones. Some of it will happen in that community handing out donuts and coffee. Some of it's going to happen right there in that lobby when somebody comes in and they get prayed for or spoken to. Some of it's going to happen in that, the restroom. Restaurant, sure. It can happen in the restaurant. I was thinking the chapel, the gym. Chris, thank you, the gym. Something could happen in the very gym. It wouldn't maybe just be you, but it could be one of the other youth leaders, or it could be the youth himself that prays for someone, and all of a sudden his life is dramatically changed. Purpose. Purpose. It's what's inside of every human being that drives them. Everyone believes this. Even non-Christians, sociology majors will tell you if they believe in macroevolution, they'll say, yeah, sure, people's purpose is to propagate and spread their species. At least it's a purpose. There is a purpose that's inside, embedded into your DNA, and God just wants to enhance it, create it into something so much more glorious than anything you could have ever thought or dreamed about. But that's not it. That's not it. I started to think, and I said, let me go into Scripture. I need to do this quickly because I'm running out of time, but let me go into Scripture and start looking at when God started taking groups of people with a singular purpose and what happened. Just to remind you, in case you're getting twisted or you feel like I'm not giving you enough Bible scriptures, let's look at a couple. Escape by the Red Sea. You know what this was about? This was about a group of people who were enslaved, who were broken down, ever felt that way, who felt like you didn't have a way out, ever felt that way, felt like you couldn't get anything right because somebody's always holding you back, and yet God released them from that slavery. He took them out, and he began to escape them out of Egypt. They began to escape by the Red Sea. Or the fall of Jericho. Do you remember this one? This was the people of Joshua and Moses when they got over the Red Sea and they got over the Jordan and they got into the great city, and then they realized this great city, they will destroy them because they were protected by this great wall, and they didn't know what they were going to do, and God said to march around that wall 7 times and I will give you the city. Or this one. Acts chapter 2, the rise of the church. This is when a group of people, 120 of them, with one singular purpose to pray for God's anointing, went into the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came down and began to inspire them with boldness and power. And we preached about it on Pentecost, Hamathmadon, and then they went out and created the church. How about that one? What about this one? The feeding of the 5,000. So you had all these people following Jesus. Why? Because he's awesome. And they're following Jesus, and then they get hungry. That happens to me all the time. And then they go up, and they don't have any food. They bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 7, and they bring it to Jesus, and Jesus takes that, and he creates 5,000 meals for the crowd. You get people together with a singular purpose, and things like this start to happen. But again, I realize something. That's not it. Because you can still have people in purpose in sports teams, people in purpose and protest, people in purpose in college classrooms. You can have people in purpose everywhere. Frankly, you have people in purpose in churches all across America today, but they still lack something. What is that something? What is that something? Well, if I go look at some of these and I say, escape by the Red Sea, fall of Jericho, rise of the church, feeding of the 5,000. What was unique about all of these than anything I see on TV when you begin to put people in purpose together? Because when I see you put people in purpose together, you have people in Baltimore City and you end up spontaneously rioting and tear down the entire city. That's not a good thing. But with these instances in the Bible, if you don't have this thing, then this will happen. if you take out one thing, it's no longer an escape by the Red Sea. They get up to the Red Sea, people on purpose, we're going to escape the Red Sea, and they can't go any farther. Why? Because there's a giant Red Sea in front of them. What happened? What happened? God divinely intervened and split the sea. The fall of Jericho wouldn't be a fall of Jericho. Listen, I have a couple minutes here. Let me just read it because I don't think I'm quite getting through the message to you. Let's go back to the Red Sea real quick. Pharaoh approached, and the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt?" Just drive that dagger in there a little bit harder. "What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? We'd rather be slaves. Didn't we tell you this would happen?" I love humans. God, didn't we tell you this would happen? Our plans are terrible. Our plans are not his plans. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. "Let us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It is better for us to be slaves in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness." I do not accept Satan's plan in our lives. I do not accept what Satan wants to do, and I do not accept the doubt and the fear and the circumstance that Satan brings in to these altars when people come here on Sunday morning and ask for God to do something. And I encourage you, church, to not be like these Jewish people who look at their circumstance and say, "I'd rather be a slave than to serve the God you're talking about." Because that's just people in purpose. That's missing something. What is it missing? Verse 21, "Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. And they walked over the Red Sea on dry land." Here's another one, Joshua. "On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before." They marched around six times and nothing happened. "On the seventh day, they marched around. But this time, when they ran around the town, seven times, the seventh time around, as the priest sounded the long blast of their horns, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you this town, Jericho and everything in it.'" Verse 20, "When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed. And the Israelites charged straight and captured it." Are you following what I'm saying? Do you see what was there? When the Israelites got to the Red Sea, did you see what was there? Did you see what was here? What was there in Jericho around the sea? Did you see what was there? Did you miss it? One more. Maybe you'll get this one. This is Acts. I've already read this one like four times in this church. I'll read it again. "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting." Do you see what was there? I see it. So I put it on PowerPoint so you can't miss it. You take God's people and you take God's purpose and you mix it with God's power. Now you have a place I want to be. Now you have a church that I don't mind getting up on Sunday morning when I'm tired. Now you have a church when I'm out on vacation and I'm doing something fun, I don't mind putting it down and coming here because I know this place is where God's presence is going to exhibit his power. Who wants God's power in their life? Because there are churches, and I'm not knocking any church, but that believe that you could come in and it is enough to just gather together, it is enough to fellowship, and it is enough to just be there in one accord. And I admire them for opening the doors and making that happen. But I'm telling you today, we are living in the last days. It simply means that this generation of humanity is not going to last much longer. We will either wipe ourselves out, disease will take us out, or something along the lines of what the Bible calls Armageddon will take place. It simply means we're not here for very much longer as a human race. And if that's the case, then we got to do something while we still have a few years left. And if that's the case, I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to persuade people with words. I've tried to convince them with intellect or education. I've tried to do everything I know how to do to allow them to live a better life and to receive more out of this world than they have on their own. And education isn't enough. Money isn't enough. Health isn't enough. Do you know what is? God's power. I know it for sure. I know it for sure. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of those around us. And that is the church I want to be a part of. You need all three. You need his power to be around people. God wants his power to be acknowledged as a testimony and confession of our mouth. When it happens, he says, go tell the city. Go tell your coworker. Go tell your family. It needs to be around a purpose, not for our own glory, not so we could go around and saying we're the best church on the planet, not to saying we're the best Christian, not by any works that we should do, simply because the purpose is what God is doing in your life to minister to somebody that he could not do without you. Are you with me, church? I'm going to do a series of series. The first series. Oh, I wanted to show this. Somebody's been asking about the three crosses. I have three little crosses at the bottom of each slide. I hid it right here so you couldn't see it. Three little crosses. What does the three little crosses mean? Well, of course, it's about Jesus on the crucifix, and there's two thieves on each side. The three crosses to me represent this. They represent people, purpose, and power. And I'm going to do three series because I believe Jesus died for people. I believe he died that we may have remission of sin because of his sin, because of his sinless nature and his blood, that he died for people. I believe he died for a purpose, that we may have eternal life, and that purpose wouldn't just stop at eternity, but it would also start here on this planet, that he would give us gifts, and those gifts would have a purpose, and that in turn would give us power, power to do all sorts of things. Things like Jesus said, greater works shall we do than even he would do. That's what the Bible said. So I believe people, purpose, and power. So the three series I want to do is on this people. I want to do a series on people. And then I'm going to do a series on purpose. And then I'm going to end the summer with a series on power. And for those of you who want to get excited about what's going to happen, some of you have been raised in Pentecostalism, some of you haven't. Some of you have experienced God's power, some of you haven't. Some of you long for God's power again. So I'm going to prepare us throughout the summer to get back to a place where we can embrace God's power, and we're going to end this summer with a healing service. Yes, we're going to pray for healing every Sunday, and yes, God is going to do mighty works, but that healing service is one you're going to invite people to, and we are going to divinely see people healed by the power of Jesus Christ. Church, you with me? Okay, but in order to get there, we got to start somewhere. We got to start where? We got to start with people. The first series I want to do is on people, starting next week. And to prepare you for it, can you turn the lights down? I have a real quick clip to get you excited. These lights here, just start turning stuff down, you'll figure it out. It's the baptism of lights. Chad put something together for me. I'm excited to show you. Volume.
Some have felt forgiveness. Others still need it. Some feel the power of love every day. Others are forever searching for it. Some have been blessed. Others very blessed. And many need help. A series about the others.
Chad, I don't know where you are, but good job, man. Good job. In order for God to do the work he wants to do, we have to be focused on the others. And next week we'll find out about that. Today I ask you this. Can we be a church that's focused on people? Can we be a church that's focused on power? Can we be a church that's focused on his purpose in our life? The title of this message was Let Us. I find that very interesting. I find the exegesis of that interesting. That just means the Bible, you know, technical history of it. In other words, in Scripture, God refers to himself as us. The Trinity, it is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He says, let us go down. God sees himself as a family. We are a family. Can us be this church? Can we be a church that inspires connection with other people? Can we connect with one another? Can we connect with this community? Can we be a church that helps one another find the purpose that only five of us have confidently confirmed that we have? God has a divine calling in each and every one of your lives. Each and every one of you has something that God has called you to do, even if it's as small in your mind as simply praying for someone on an everyday basis. God has called you to do something, and we need to discover what that is. Let us be that church. Can we be that church? Can we be a church of power? Can we be one where power is inserted into our very beings, where our temples are filled? We empty of ourselves and allow God to fill our temples with power. Can we? Can we? Let us be that church. Can we be that church?